Have you ever had the opportunity to just see the ocean in a storm? Whether it is the Pacific Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, the Gulf of Mexico, some major body of water, one of our major seas or major oceans, what it looks like in the middle of a storm, when a storm is moving in. When I was at Mount Angel Seminary out in Oregon, every year we would go spend a weekend at a Boy Scout camp that was on a bluff overlooking the Pacific Ocean. It was beautiful, beautiful spot. You could go and camp out on the beach. We would have unauthorized bonfires on the beach, you know, all that kind of good stuff. And once in a while, we would be there, and a storm would move in. One of those great Pacific storms would come in, and the sea would just be churning, and those waves would be crashing on shore. And you could really see the power in those waves. You could imagine what it would be like to try to be on a ship, on a boat, in the midst of that, and those waves are crashing against them and threatening to flip them over. And even not so much on an ocean, but even like on a large lake, think of, you know, Fort Peck up in the northeast corner of the state. It can get some pretty impressive waves in the middle of a storm. When the wind's really just howling, those waves can really crash. They can really build up. And the Sea of Galilee, where our Lord and his disciples were, is nothing more than a big lake. It's a big freshwater lake. It's not a giant ocean. It's not like the Gulf of Mexico. It's a very decent-sized lake. I think Fort Peck Lake is actually bigger than the Sea of Galilee. And so you can imagine what it was like as they're out in the middle of this wave, these waves, and the wind's howling, and it's raining, and you know, and it's flooding the boats. And I'm sure they weren't worried about the boat flooding. They were worried about the boat being flipped over, and they'd end up in the drink. End up having to try to swim to shore and hope that they can swim against those waves and so on. And in the middle of all this, our Lord is asleep. I'm kind of jealous. Dog barks across the street and I wake up. Our Lord's sleeping through a storm. He obviously sleeps better than I do. But when we look at this incident in the gospel, it's a good reminder for us the power that is in nature. Us humans, we think we got nature pretty well figured out in the 21st century. After all, we've got air conditioning, we've got electricity, we split the atom, we've done all these good things. And then a hurricane hits, or a tornado, or an earthquake. And nature reminds us, you don't have anything figured out. We're pretty insignificant when nature decides to show her fury. You know, nature's got great power. What is more amazing than that, though, is that God is even more powerful than all of that. He is more powerful than nature, more powerful than anything created, because he created it all. He made it all. He's so powerful that everything exists because he holds it in existence. Not just created it. You know, there's a heresy that God is what they commonly call a clockmaker God. You know, a clockmaker will build a clock, wind it up, go on to the next clock. He's not sitting there keeping that clock running. He gets it built, he winds it up, he sells it, he makes another clock. So this clockmaker God idea is that God created the universe, set it all in motion, the Big Bang and all that stuff, and then walked away. And it's just letting nature take its course, literally. But that's not what God is. And Job needed a reminder of that in our first reading today. Now, the book of Job is a very interesting book in the Bible. It's not a long one. I would recommend, if you haven't read it or you haven't read it in a while, read it again. It's a very interesting book that puts a lot of light on the struggles of our lives. And Job is at this point when we see this reading. He's kind of had enough. He's had a very difficult life. I mean, life was going well for a long time, and then the troubles start, and he started having more and more problems and more difficulties, to the point where some of his friends said, you know what, just curse God and die. Just give up. Just, we're done. Job doesn't do that, but he does kind of let God have it. He kind of reads God the Riot Act, and what we see in the first reading today is God's response. And ultimately God's response was, Who are you and where were you when I set the limits to the sea, when I put the waves in their storehouse and all these things? He basically is like, you're going to read me the right act? Where were you when I created everything? And of course, Job immediately goes, I'm sorry, I said way too much. I'm just going to shut up now, in so many words. He realized he had stepped too far, as we sometimes do. But God reminded Job and reminds us that he created everything that exists. And he keeps it in existence because he wants it to be in existence. Because God wants it to be in existence. And yet, despite the fact that we have a God that's so powerful that everything exists because of him, he created us to be his children. He wants us to be in a relationship with him. Very interesting that these readings come today on Father's Day. They really are a reminder that despite the immensity and the power of God, he truly does want to be our heavenly Father. And he wants us to have the relationship of children with their Father. He wants to have that relationship with each and every one of us that we can share in his fatherly love. And he shows that fatherly love so strongly that he sent his son to become one of us. His son who has the power to still the storm on that lake. His son who came to die that we might no longer be separated from our heavenly Father due to sin. That's the Father that we have. As St. Paul said, he indeed died for all, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Our very existence is a gift from God, that we might share in that fatherly love. And we so easily, so often forget that. We don't think about it. Because we're like the disciples who are becoming terrified. You know, they were terrified by the storm. The storm was, they were worried out of their minds. They couldn't handle it. And we're like that so often. Because we look at the concerns and the worries of the world around us. We look at the things that are going on around us in our lives. You know, whether it is the personal issues we might have, health or other concerns that we might have, problems in our families, relationships, and so on. Or maybe even worse, it's the problems in our community, our state, our country. All these political issues and problems that keep cropping up and getting worse and worse and worse. And we become terrified by all these problems, and it becomes too much. And so we worry. And we might even fall into despair. We might be looking at the state of the world today, state of our families, the state of our communities, and saying, it's too much. And we despair. We worry. And our human reaction is to hang on to that despair and maybe even feed it. Why else would we sit and watch these stupid news channels and news websites? That's all they do is feed you despair, 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 despair. And we feed it and we keep feeding it. And we forget that we have a Father who loves us. We have a Father who can still the storm. These storms of despair and problems and worries and concerns, he can still all of it. Now, it's not to say there aren't going to still be problems in our lives, but he can still the storm of despair that sets in on us. And that's where we need to turn to him. We need to turn to him and seek that the storm may be eased. Be still, as our Lord says. Turn to him in prayer at those times of despair. Turn to him in prayer at those times when the storms are raging against us. Even if the prayer is as simple as the prayer of the disciples in the gospel today, Lord, don't you care? Even if it's something that simple in the midst of despair, a cry for help. A cry that he will bring that calm to our lives. Maybe it's something that we need more of his help. And so we need to keep coming to him in prayer, bringing this despair, this storm in our lives to him. Invoking Our Lady in the Rosary is a great way to seek that calm. Asking her to intercede with her son that we might receive that calm of that storm of despair. Doing things like novenas where we take 9 days and ask for the intercession of a saint, or seeking our Lord under a title like the Sacred Heart, for example, that we might have that ease of that storm. Coming and spending time with our Lord in adoration. That's why we have the tabernacle. That's why we keep our Lord present in the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle. It's so that we can come and spend time with him to help ease those storms in our lives. Even something as simple as when you come forward here in just a few minutes to receive communion, to offer that communion, that receiving him, body, blood, soul, and divinity, for whatever is despairing us. And it's as simple as soon as you receive, going back to your pew, looking at our Lord on the cross, and saying in your heart, Lord, I offer this communion for. It's that simple. It doesn't have to be elaborate. Yes, there are beautiful devotions, beautiful litanies. All these things are there to help us ease that storm of despair in our lives. But ultimately, all it takes is coming to our Lord and asking for his help. That's all it takes. So as we face these storms in our lives, may we truly come to our Lord and seek his help. Because the answer to the disciples' prayer, Lord, do you care? The answer is yes.